will not leave you orphans, but I will come to you. Students used to say that the only view they wanted of Fort Wayne Seminary was in the rearview mirror. I don't think they say that as frequently as they used to. By the end of their fourth year, seminary students have built up a certain self-confidence about themselves as theologians and pastors. If they were adrift in the theological ocean for the first few months of their seminary training, they now have already categorized themselves into fairly well-defined theological interest groupings. A year of vicarage has taught them that the people are ready and waiting for them to preach the gospel. If 8 years of post-high school training looked like an insurmountable object for the first 7.5 years, the last 2 weeks have been filled with exhilarating experience, and I use the term experiences with purpose. The call service, the receptions, the banquets, the concerts, and finally the baccalaureate and commencement exercises and services this week. You have proven to yourself that you are not uneducatable or incorrigible, and you have shown the world that God can use reprobate sinners to preach the gospel. God's grace is still at work, and your coming to this point has proven it. But in spite of the high-spirited good feelings of these last days, such high spirits are not and may not be allowed to be the foundation on which the Church of Jesus Christ is built. You are about to face the crises of being alone, and many of you will soon begin to wish that the Fort Wayne Seminary would be in the front windshield and not in the rearview mirror. Life consists of a number of crises brought by change. At 5 years old, the child leaves home and begins kindergarten. The next real crisis comes when he leaves high school and goes to college. But his college becomes his foster mother. A much more severe crisis comes when the young person leaves college, or as you who are more erudite say, academia. For the less institutionalized and the less regulated world outside of the ivy-covered walls. For this reason, colleges are called alma maters, foster mothers. Foster parents are never full replacements for the ones you left at home, but an alma mater is better than having no parent at all. Your seminary is not an alma mater in the sense that a college is, but the teachers here have become what St. Paul says of himself, your fathers in Christ. Now, in a sense, you, the fourth year students, are losing your fathers in Christ, because through your ordination into the holy ministry, we are all brothers under Christ in his service. Even St. Peter, the foundation apostle of the New Testament church, who calls himself a witness of the sufferings of Christ, in addressing pastors, only calls himself a fellow pastor with all other pastors, and a fellow participant in the salvation which was going to be revealed to all other Christians. That portion of Christ's farewell address recorded in John 14 is so hauntingly familiar or similar to the Great Commission of Matthew 28 that I almost was compelled to see a certain literary interdependency between the two Gospels. Though Matthew does not specifically say that Jesus is going away, his promise, "Lo, I am with you, even to the close of this age," would have no real meaning unless Jesus were going away. In both John and Matthew, the Lord commands faithfulness to his word, and he promises that God, in his Trinitarian fullness, will be with the apostles. Jesus goes away from the disciples, but he returns to them in a qualitatively superior way. Where once they saw him with their eyes after the flesh, now he returns to them so that he, with the Holy Spirit and the Father, may remain eternally in them and with them. The God whom the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain finds his earthly home among those who show their love to him by keeping his commandments. They love the doctrines of the gospel because they love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. I wish we had another word in English for the word commandments. Both Matthew and John, in the English translation at least, give the impression that God approves of those, chiefly who refrain from outward sinning, or something equally legalistically sounding like that. Showing your love to Jesus by keeping what he has commanded means that we revel in and that we totally immerse ourselves in God's saving activity in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The one who has the teachings of Jesus and keeps them, that's the one who really loves Jesus. Jesus did not come so that we might know how severe God's anger and wrath towards us wretched can be, but he came so that we might know how God in his love has totally embraced the fallen world. John recorded the farewell discourses of Jesus so that we might have a detailed and accurate account of our Lord's last hours with the 12. But his real purpose was to direct these words to those who are assuming the burdens of the apostles who were long dead when John wrote these words. John was not speaking a time-bound word, but he was speaking a timeless word to those who would, each in their own generation, who would be assuming the apostolic task of preserving the words of Jesus, preaching the words of Jesus, and establishing his church throughout the world. Just as Jesus had been a real father figure for his disciples, so John, as it is quite obvious in all of his writings, especially in his old age, had become a father figure for all Christians, but especially for the pastors of that church. With his imminent death, they also would become orphans, as John once had become an orphan when Jesus had left him. And graduating from a seminary is both a dying and a resurrection. One way of life ends, and another arises from the dust. Your graduation will be an orphanizing ceremony for you. And your ordination will be a resurrection occurrence for you into your new life as pastors. You leave the doors of the seminary for your first assignment, and the doors must be shut behind you. They say you can never go home after you have left it, and that's true. Alma mater, the foster mother, becomes a memory. And fathers in Christ are now your brothers. You yourselves, who are now the sons of the prophets, are now becoming fathers in Christ to the children of God spread abroad. You are shepherds traversing rocky terrain, looking for the lost sheep. You stand as shepherds among the sheep, and as you will soon find out, a few stray goats. You sow the good seed, but when you till the field, you will find that with the wheat there are also the tares. And just as it was good for Jesus to leave his disciples, so it is good for you to leave here. You can no longer depend upon the earthly personalities of your teachers, But you must depend upon Christ, the heavenly personality, who, as you follow the commands of his gospel, will come to you with the Holy Spirit and with the Father. It is not Christ who, according to the flesh, brings salvation, but it is the Christ who is proclaimed by the Holy Spirit as the Father's only begotten Son that brings forgiveness of life, forgiveness of sins, life, salvation, and the indwelling of the triune God himself. With God within you, you will find your confidence wherever you are, whether it is in Ohio or Nigeria. For your confidence, you will not be looking at yourselves for growth in holy works at which you can be amazed. For your confidence, you will not be keeping a statistical account of all the marvelous things that God is accomplishing in you and through you, as the ecclesiastical hucksters do. You will never preach yourself, but you will preach Christ and his word alone. Your confidence will be that you have heard the words of Jesus and kept them. Wherever you go, and to whatever service you are assigned, you will hear only these words of Jesus: "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." This we will do, not because we are threatened by the fear of God's law, but this we will do only because we are saved by the saving commandment of his holy gospel.